Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. You know, one of the most interesting things each month you need to kind of corral is how much money you spend on food. You can spend a lot, you can spend a little, but there are signs that you're spending too much on food. So it's important to talk about these things. And whenever we talk about something consumer, there is one person we bring into the studio, and that is our unofficial consumer reporter, the one and only Kate James. Kate, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's always fun. Now, when we go shopping, I tend to go once a week. We try to buy everything at one time, but then it's inevitable that during the week you realize, uh-oh, there's no more milk. Uh-oh, there's no more soda. Uh-oh, there's no more whatever. So I get sent out to pick the stuff up. And then before you know it, it's another $60, $75 trip to the store. What are we doing wrong?
Oh, we're doing lots wrong. What we're doing is we're just, frankly, just spending too much money. What happens is when you make those additional trips, you're not just going for the milk or the soda or whatever it is that you're missing at home. You're looking at the end caps. In my case, I have to look at the circular or say, hey, this is on sale and I got a coupon that doubles and, oh boy, I'm getting that as a bargain. So then you buy a bunch of those and don't forget the, you know, 10 for $10. And that's what we're doing more. So these days we're just going and we're spending a lot more than we're supposed to.
There's something called the Food Marketing Institute. Bet you didn't know there was anything called the Food Marketing Institute, but there is, and they study grocery shopping as an industry. And they've come up with three signs that you as an individual or as a family are spending way too much on food. The first one is you spend much more than the average. And let me ask you, when you do your shopping for your family each week, do you feel you're spending more than you should in the first place?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There's always that something extra. You know, the son likes the apples. The daughter hates the apples, but likes the bananas. And of course, let's not forget the treats. You know, for every time I take a kid with me, I'm spending $10 to $15 more than A, I should, and B, that I intended on spending. So it's always easy to forget tracking the receipts. You really have to write it down. But I have to admit, I'm not the disciplined shopper. Who has time to write down what you got? You barely have time to talk to yourself or your spouse or even your kids.
The most interesting part of that last statement was that she barely has time to talk to herself, and we'll explore that on a future show. But the most important thing is to have a plan. Now, what we do is we actually start a little chart. We'll plan a menu for the week. Now, you're a very busy person. You work a full-time job. Is it possible to plan a menu and stick to it?
Well, I'm impressed that you're doing all this because I can't do this. I mean, I do lack the discipline to do it. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I just go by, okay, these are the four critical items. And of course, you're always forgetting that toilet paper. But nonetheless, here are the critical items. And then sometimes I'll scour a couple of the staple aisles, not necessarily the hair care and everything like that, because I do stock up on the shampoo. I use the coupons, where the 10 for 10, and then you get the coupons. And then on top of that, maybe the store is running a special on it for those who use their little price club card or whatever the heck they have.
Now, here's something that jumped out at me. And as we're looking through this, this is a story we got from CheatSheet.com. For people that spend money outside of the home for food, and what that means is going out to eat, the average is about $219 a month on food away from home. That seems weird, and that seems kind of high to me. If you're on a budget, are you really spending $219 a month out? I don't care what part of the country you live in. Why are you going out to eat that much?
Oh, I'll tell you. It's just, frankly, the convenience and sometimes outright laziness. I have to tell you, I am guilty of this, and $219 is a bargain. I'm so sorry, and I'm so ashamed of myself, but yeah, absolutely. I do lack discipline in this area. A lot of it has to do with people who have two-income households running, trying to keep up with the kids, the sports, or the pets, whatever it is. You're working the two jobs. You're coming home late a lot. In my case, it's like, I'm coming home late. Stop making dinner, hubby. and meet me at the local restaurant with the kids. Don't forget them.
Well, you know, if I was your hubby, I'd be a little annoyed because I ran home from work and there I am trying to figure out how to make this tuna helper thing or whatever the hell it is. And then all of a sudden the phone rings and it's you, the boss, then saying, you know what, just whatever it is, stop it, throw it out and meet me. We're going to Applebee's and we're throwing $75 down on dinner tonight.
There's a going joke in my family that I cook with the foot. Meaning the foot pedal to the gas and the keys, you know, or the finger dialing for the takeout order.
All right, so you spend more than the average. What is the average is $2,625 a year on outside food. Now, I think that's a lot, but in the case of Ms. James, she's blowing money left and right because she doesn't want to come home and cook with her foot. Anyway, the other one is that food is your largest expense. For most households, housing is their largest expense, followed by transportation. Wait a minute. If you're spending more per month on food than you're paying for your mortgage, your property taxes, your utilities, everything that it takes to manage the household, you've got a problem.
Yeah, that is absolutely right. And it's scary. I actually need therapy after this show. I'm convinced I really do. So, yeah, I'm guilty of this, and I've got to scale back. I have to go to Shoppers Anonymous or something, but the average price of a meal at an inexpensive restaurant is around $10. And you know, one thing that I really want to add to this is not even just the restaurants themselves, but let's think about the ancillary costs of like coffee. You know, sometimes you're going for coffee every day now this I curbed back on, to tell you the truth, because I make coffee at home, but my colleagues, they're going out for the specialty coffees each and every day, and sometimes twice a day. And so you got to account for that. And I'm sure these figures do not include that.
That's a good point. And people don't realize that. It's not just taking the whole crew out for this giant meal. But every time you walk into let's just throw some out there, Dunkin' Donuts. Okay, we're in the Northeast. We're in New York City. Starbucks all over the country. You're not getting out of that place unless you're going to spend the better half out of a $5 bill for a cup of coffee. And then all of a sudden, oh, look at that scone. And look at that donut. It looks so good. And all of a sudden, you got a relationship that you just can't end with one of these places. That's a very, very good point. And you know what it is, too? Like you said, we're busy because everybody's got jobs, and I think we're inherently a lazy culture. And I don't mean that in a bad way or in an Ariana Grande type of way, but in that it's just much easier instead of running home and dealing with having a cook because you're helping kids with homework and you're dealing with husbands and wives and everything else. It's so much easier just to go out. But maybe it gets back to the problem that maybe we're just eating too much as well.
Yes, I mean, I'm not eating that much. I mean, I have to tell you, I mean, that sounds ridiculous. No, that's not my problem. I'm just, I love the convenience and being able to walk away a table without having to do dishes and without having to clean up, really, and just walk in another door, better known as my house. I mean, that's basically it. So, but I have to tell you, though, we do need to discipline. I think we're a convenience-focused society. And also, too, with the advances of technology, I think that more is expected of us sooner. So there's more pressure on us. And a lot of people find it more convenient to drive to grab that coffee or whatever, drive to get the food prepared for them than it is to make it themselves. And for me, I have to tell you, my cooking skills are really poor. And so for me to chop garlic, it would be like a 15 to 20 minute project. And
see, the key to hosting a show like this and putting it all together, that's why she is not the food contributor to the show. That's why we have a Joanna Pruce, because we don't need Kate James messing things up in the kitchen. One last thing. When it comes down to how much you spend, not outside the house, when it comes to just going to the supermarket, what do you think? Now, you've got two kids. I've got one kid. All right. What do you feel is the average amount that you should be spending on groceries each week?
Well, figuring each shopping trip that, I spend, now we're not including any type of, like, we're not including alcohol or anything like that, right?
Dinner and supplies.
Okay. I would say approximately $250.
That's reasonable. Because we do about maybe $200 a week and we have one less child than you do. So that does make sense. But there are a lot of people that will go crazy with you know what? I got to get macadamia nuts. And I got to get this and I got to get that. You need some discipline when you go into these stores or not. You're going to spend all kinds of money. And it's not that you're overeating, but you need to eat and shop smartly. I mean, all right, not everybody has the stamina or the time to sit there and cut coupons so they can save 40 cents on dish detergent. But she's raising her hand that she does do that. And you know what? You did tell me that once before. But the key is, like anything else, moderation and some brains, and you can stretch that dollar and make it go a long, long way. Well, this was very, very informative. We learned a lot of things about Ms. James, and I learned one thing, that if I am ever invited over to her version of Hyannisport, and I'm invited over for dinner, I'm going to be served a Big Mac and a large fry.
Oh, no, 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 no. I have my chefs, see, at these food stores, and this actually contributes to an increase in the bill. These food stores are getting really smart. They are hiring great cooks that I often call when I'm having that party in my Hyannisport house.
Kate James with her finger on the phone, feeding America and herself. Stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalegi, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Think Green.
Harrison with you. A new green cement has been calibrated to eliminate the huge amounts of carbon dioxide spewed into the atmosphere by manufacturers of the old cement used in concrete for buildings, roadways, and bridges. The reality is that for every ton of ordinary cement produced, a ton of air-polluting carbon dioxide is released. Worldwide, 2.5 billion tons of cement are manufactured each year, creating about 5% of the Earth's CO2 emissions. So with green cement on the horizon, the U.S. can do its environmental part. Carbon dioxide is a global problem and not a regional one, since a CO2 molecule can travel from Beijing to San Francisco in less than a day through atmospheric circulation. From the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
If you're an inventor who would like to attempt to have your idea or invention patented and submitted to industry, call InventHelp. They have free information for you. Call 1-800-405-9878. That's 1-800-405-9878.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. So who knows more four-letter, very naughty words? Little boys or little girls? Here's the answer and the developmental science of it. Hard to believe, but 3- and 4-year-old girls know a greater number of colorful phrases than do little boys. But boys tend to use foul terms much more frequently than little girls.
Broad, dumb, fretting, house, tickled, piper!
However, there are those who believe that this is equaling out with both little girls and little boys, well, using those naughty words. What's the cheap psychological trick? When you hear these words, and you will, let the kid know immediately that it's unacceptable language, but do not overreact. If you do, the cursing takes on a magical quality, and you will hear it everywhere. If it continues, well, timeout works very well with this behavior. Check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.